Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you guys once again for joining the Nine Innings Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Kevin Thompson, founder and CEO of Nine Eye Capital Group. Thank you guys for joining us. As I always say, subscribe to the channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB to CFP Live on app on Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@nineeyecapitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.nineeyecapitalgroup.com. Schedule your appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. But we're giving you another E today, and that is empathy. And today we're talking about special needs planning, and I'm going to give you a story and some things to do as your child reaches 18 and beyond. Today, special needs 18 and beyond. Let's get it. So I've entitled this 18 and beyond because we're going to dive into some of the realities and the challenges that, raising a special needs child has taught me. As you know, I'm Kevin Thompson, and today we're going to be tackling some important issues about the transitional phase and what happens to your kid as they get to that age of 18 or adulthood. Now, if you're a parent or a guardian, you already know that 18 isn't just a birthday. It's the legal age of adulthood, and it becomes an emotional shift, a financial shift. Many of us spend our time and our years focused on our child's education, therapies, the day-to-day needs. But when adulthood approaches, a whole new set of circumstances and concerns arise. So in today's episode, I want to talk to you through a little bit of that, what I've learned, what you should be thinking about, and how to best prepare your child in this transitional phase to the adulthood. So whether your child will live independently, work, or need some full-time support, there are always some steps we can take as a parent. And we need to take these steps. If they're 13 or 14 right now, we need to start taking these steps now to ensure that we're ready for that transitional phase. So before we dive in, I want to just say, if you find this podcast helpful, be sure to share it with another parent who might need this information. Also, subscribe so you don't miss future episodes when we break down things like financial planning, navigating government benefits, and advocating for your childhood. Your child's adulthood. So let's start here with understanding the legal shifts. Before I go through the legal shifts, I want to start with my story. 14 years ago, my son was born with special needs. And when that happened, my ideology shifted. An ideology from a me first about me to now about him. And people often say, Kevin, you've changed. Of course we've changed. If you haven't changed since you've been a child, you have had no growth. I advocate for my son. I advocate for those who are less fortunate. I advocate for communities of color. I advocate for communities that are poor. I advocate for things of change. Because I see life through the eyes of a special needs son. I see life through the eyes of a person that's going to need you for the rest of their lives. And that's the reason why I am who I am today. So the first segment we're going to talk about here is understanding the legal shifts. So let's start with something many parents don't realize until they're in the middle of it. The legal shift and that what happens when your child turns 18. So at the age of 18, your child is legally considered an adult. That means unless you take specific legal steps, you no longer have automatic medical rights, financial rights, or educational decisions on their behalf. So for some children, this might be a huge deal, but for others, not so much. Because some of the kids are very capable of handling their own decisions, but for others, especially those with intellectual or developmental disabilities, that may be an issue and they may still rely on us. So that's where guardianship and power of attorney come into play. So let's talk about guardianship versus power of attorney. So guardianship means you are legally appointed to make decisions for your child. This is typically necessary if they cannot make decisions on their own. However, if your child is capable of some independent decision making but still needs guidance, you might consider just a power of attorney instead. This allows you to assist in their financial and medical decisions without taking away their rights entirely. There's also supported decision making agreements, which are an alternative to full guardianship in some states. This allows your child to retain legal rights while still getting structured support. So here are some steps to take now. Start exploring your options early, ideally before your child turns 17. Consult with a special needs attorney who can guide you through the legal process. Check your state's laws. Some states have different processes for guardianship and decision-making agreements. So make sure you know what state you're in and the laws of that state. And I would say if you're pre-18, start today. It's never too early because the process, my understanding, the process is quite lengthy. And of course, it's going to get a little bit more lengthy with all of the government shakeup. So let's talk about financial and future planning. So beyond the legal side of things, and again, that was not legal advice. That was just some legal information, not legal advice. I'm just being clear on that. So beyond legal planning, financial security is a huge concern for families raising special needs children as they become adults. Their access to government benefits, and we need to ensure they're financially protected. So for example, special needs trust, ABLE accounts. If your child has more than $2,000 in their name, they could lose eligibility for benefits like SSI or Medicaid. SSI stands for Supplemental Security Income. That is, you guys don't understand how important that is. You don't want them to lose their benefits. So to avoid this, consider setting up a special needs trust. This ensures any money set aside for them, whether from an inheritance insurance policy or family contributions, won't disqualify them from receiving benefits. Now, there's a caveat to that, a huge caveat. I'm not going to get into the specifics of this, but it has to be titled a certain way, and there has to be certain provisions within the special needs trust to make sure that happens. I would get with a special needs attorney to make sure you're setting up your trust correctly. Also, an ABLE account is another great tool. It allows your child to save up to $100,000 without affecting their benefits, and the money can be used for education, housing, medical expenses, and other essential items. It's important. Social Security and government benefits at age 18. SSI eligibility is based on your child's income and assets rather than their parents. This means that even if your family didn't qualify before, they may now. If your child has significant disabilities and can't work, they may qualify for Social Security Disability Insurance, SSDI. Medicaid and state disability services are often tied to the SSI eligibility, so applying for SSI can also open doors to other resources. So here are some steps to take today. Meet with the financial planner who specializes in special needs planning. I'll say that again, someone who specializes in special needs planning. Set up a special needs trust or ABLE account before your child receives any large sums of money. Apply for SSI and Medicaid as soon as your child turns 18, if applicable. Part three, transitioning from school to adulthood. One of the biggest adjustments after 18 is education. If your child has an IEP, and we're all familiar with that individualized education program, that support doesn't automatically continue. So now what? Let's talk about some post-high school options. Some children with special needs can go to college with accommodations under the ADA. Others may benefit from vocational training or job placement programs designed for individuals with disabilities. So I would look around your area and what jobs and situations there are for special for kids with disabilities to be able to work. There's programs out there. If your child will need support, look into independent living programs or adult day programs in your state. So here are steps to take now. Meet with your child's school to discuss transition services. These should be included in their IEP starting at age 14 through 16. Research local workforce and independent living programs to see what's available. Next, we're going to go into the emotional and practical adjustments. Now, beyond the legal and financial aspects, let's talk about something just as important, which is going to be the emotional transition, right? Your child is becoming an adult, and that becomes new in regards to challenges, not just for them, but just for us, for the parents. Some of us struggle with the idea of stepping back, stepping away, letting our kids go and become more independent. And it's a huge worry for me, huge worry for me, because I don't know who's going to take advantage of them. Is someone going to go out there and try to take some money from them? Is someone going to do something bad to them? It's serious. It's very serious. So we got to help our children build independence. Even if your child won't live fully independently, small steps like handling their own money, making medical appointments, or managing their daily routine can be a huge deal. I've been doing that with my son. You know, he's bathing himself, brushing his teeth, everything like that. I come in behind him, of course, to fix some things. But at the end of the day, the small things matter. Teach life skills early. Simple things like grocery shopping, doing laundry, or using public transportation. Building a support system. You don't have to do this alone. Now, I know sometimes it feels that way. Maybe your parents or our parents or somebody else's or extended family is not necessarily that supportive. My parents are doing a great job. My parents do a good job. My wife's parents do as best they can. It's okay. But you don't have to do it alone. Connect with local disability groups, special needs parent networks, and respite care services for support. Self-care is also important. It's easy to put yourself last when caregiving, but burnout helps no one. Seek out other parents that understand your journey. I'm going to say this as well. When you have a special needs child, some things are going to change in your life. Not only your perspective and how you see the world and how you view everything, but who you associate with. It changes your views. It changes your body, your politics. It changes everything about you because all you can do is see life through the eyes of the disadvantaged. So, in closing, preparing for your special needs child's transition to adulthood is a journey, not a one-time event. The key is starting early, being informed, and seeking support where needed. If this episode was helpful, please share it with those parents who might need this information. And don't forget to subscribe for more insights as we start delving a little bit deeper into each of these topics, because I think it's powerful. I'm going to make a playlist specifically for special needs planning on my channel. Thank you for joining the 980s podcast as we going beyond 18. I'm Kevin Thompson. Subscribe to the channel. Don't forget my book, MLB to CFP, live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule an appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. But we're adding the fifth E today, and that's empathy. Thank you guys for joining us. Also, subscribe and follow us at MLB to CFP on all social network channels. Stay humble, stay safe, my friend. I'll see you again soon.